saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, and with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, up there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, and my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below, and he's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, home at last, ever. On that chorus, oh yes, I want to see him, look upon his face, up there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, home at last, ever. On that chorus once more, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, up there to sing forever.
Oh, what a song. I love it. Oh, what a day that's going to be when we look up on his face, when in all his splendor, all his glory, we see him and know him as he is. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine? Let me turn that down a little bit. Can you just imagine that hour? What an hour it's going to be. Well, we got a great broadcast today, great telecast, radio broadcast, and I pray that everybody is taking time to listen. Because we're going to talk today about when the devil turns the Antichrist loose. And really beyond that, when the restrainer turns the Antichrist loose. When the Holy Ghost turns the Antichrist loose on our earth. Now, my friend, the Antichrist is already at work. The Bible makes that plain. But the Bible tells us there's an hour when the restrainer removes his restraining power and turns the devil with a complete liberty loose upon this earth. Satan will have 7 years when the Holy Spirit turns him loose, and it will be hell on earth. The only way you can say it is hell on earth. Now, let's talk first today, a few minutes, about the restrainer. I would like for my radio audience to understand who the restrainer is and how imperative his ministry is. If you don't understand the details of the restrainer and how imperative his hand is in the world, you see, all the way back to creation, the Holy Spirit has always been the Father's restrainer. He holds the devil at bay. He holds the devil at a limited position, and Satan cannot do nothing but that God would let him. Remember when Satan was after Job, and he was determined to destroy Job, and the devil actually said to God, "You have put a hedge around him. You have put a hedge around him." Now, that's marvelous to think about, is having a hedge around you. Well, I'm here to tell you, every Holy Ghost-filled person listening to me has a hedge around them. No doubts, no question, no ifs, no ands. If the Holy Ghost dwells in you, then he holds the devil at a limited bay. Don't mean the devil can't come at you. It don't mean he can't whisper. It don't mean that he can't fight against you. But it means you got to open the door. You've got to let some evil, some lying, some rebellion, some stubbornness, some arrogance. You've got to let something in your flesh open the door to Satan before he can get you. When God's Father, God the Father, has God the Spirit holding you, preserving you, and taking care of you. Now, let me take you to the book of Genesis and show you that this is an office of the Holy Spirit from the beginning. In the beginning, listen. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that's the book of Genesis, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, that's verse 2, Genesis 1. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. But listen to this. Listen to this. You got to hear it. And the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, you can't see anything there, but that God, the Holy Spirit, moving upon the darkness on the face of the deep, holding darkness at bay, that God might say, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Holy Spirit held darkness back while the Father God created, through Christ the Lord, created the heavens and the earth. Now, the Holy Spirit has been God's restrainer all through the history of the earth. And all kinds of things and events at times, God used his Holy Spirit. Now, you got to hear this now. The Holy Spirit is the Father and the Savior's restrainer. You see, the three members of the Godhead are distinct in each of their operation. God says it. God thinks it. Jesus says it. And the Holy Spirit does it. And you can just write that down in the Bible from one end to the other. God is the thinker. It is the mind of God that created the universe. It is God the Son who is his spoken word, who speaks for him. And it's God the Holy Ghost who acts for God the Father and God the Son. It's a beautiful picture of the triune God, the threesome in sovereignty. The threesome is sovereignty. It's a beautiful picture. And the Holy Spirit now is the restrainer. The Holy Spirit holds the devil at bay. The devil can do nothing that either you or God allows him to do. Now, if you allow him, then God allows that to be an opening for him. So God is in the mix. But I'm telling you, you got to hear me when I say, when that restrainer turns the devil loose, you have never thought of a world that will be as damnable, as dark, as destructive, as evil as this world is going to be. That will happen immediately after the rapture. That will happen immediately after the rapture, when God the Father, in his restraining power, the Holy Spirit, literally turns the devil loose on this earth. You don't want to be here. you don't want, you may not know you don't want to be here, but I'm telling you, you don't want to be here. Now, as we talk about this restrainer, and how the day will come, the hour will arrive, when God, the restrainer, will turn the devil loose on this earth. And the devil will have a short little span of time, a little limited span, 7 years, in which he will turn this world into hell on earth. He will do some incredibly dark things. They are almost beyond imagination to imagine what he will do. Now, let me say again. The Holy Ghost is God's restraining force. The Holy Spirit is God's restraining power. You must hear me when I say that. Now, next I want to say to you that moving in the wake of the Holy Spirit are the angels of God. We don't want to leave the angels out of this mix. We want to understand that while the person of the Holy Spirit, a member of the divine Godhead, is in charge of all the restraining powers that move in the universe, and Jesus Christ the Lord, as the Lord of Sabaoth, is also over these angels, and they move then in the wake of the Holy Spirit's action. You study history. Anytime there's been a move in revival of the Holy Spirit, there were numerous occasions of angels involved in the mix, in the things that were occurring. You can trust that. You can believe that. Study it for yourself if you want to. But angels move in the wake of the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to understand. Right now, the Holy Spirit is the restrainer in our world. And there are numerous, I mean unimaginable numbers of angels who move in the wake of the Holy Spirit. And so the devil is under a limited restraint. He can do some dark things, and he's doing some dark things. But it's always at a limited manner and in a limited way and only under the proper conditions. Like if you, as a believer, quit reading your Bible and you begin to fall back into sin, and you begin to commit fornication and evil things, the devil will take the door in which you've opened and attacked you, and nothing can stop him. When you open the door to the enemy, when you become rebellious, when you resist the work of the Holy Ghost, when you come against what God is doing, when you resist a man of God, or someone who's acting in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you open yourself up to these powers, and you put yourself in a dangerous position. I want you to understand that. You put yourself in a dangerous position, and you are going to face it. It's going to occur. I mean, the Bible says that God will avenge his saints of their adversaries. God will do it if we trust him, if we believe him. He will avenge us of our adversaries, and they will be in trouble. I always worry and carry a burden for people who are hating me, or people who are coming against me, or people who are doing their best to hinder the ministry. I worry for them. I weep for them. I pray for God to forgive them and to bring them back to the truth, because it is such a dangerous place. Now, you understand, the Holy Ghost is himself the restrainer. Now, he also has angels that move in his wake. And number three, the Holy Ghost, the restrainer, will use saints of God. The Bible says whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The heaven he's talking about is the realm of the evil spirits, the realm of Satan, the realm of all of his evil persons. Whatever I bind in Holy Ghost prayer in there in that sanctuary, on my face, no dependency on my flesh, no confidence in the old self, I won't touch the glory of God. I won't dare get myself in and take the glory for what God is doing. If I do that rightly, and I do that godly, and I do that in persistent prayer, then whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Oh, that's beautiful. Whatever I bind down, I'm pointing the wrong way. Whatever I bind down here is bound up there in the realm of Satan. So remember that when you pray. I mean, you've got to bind the strong man if you're going to take his house, the Bible said. You've got to bind the strong man if you're going to see conversion. I've seen demons cast out on numerous occasions. Met a young man yesterday in the hospital where the devil had cast demons out of him some years ago, right there in the sanctuary. I remember specifically the day where he was standing, where I was standing. I called on other men of the church to come and back me up. I don't ever do this of my own. I don't seek to do it in anything I possess. I seek to do it in the harmony of the church elders or other ministers. And I believe that God honors that, and the enemy is defeated. So you've got the Holy Spirit, the restrainer. You've got angels moving in his wake. And then you've got saints of God full of the Holy Ghost who God uses to help restrain the enemy. You understand that? God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost, and the angels, and the saints of God, the threesome involved in restraining the enemy, restraining the devil. That's why the rapture must take place and get you and me, or those that are ready, out of here before the restrainer can be turned loose, because God is never going to dishonor his force of restraint in the saint of God. The saint of God will have to be removed before the restrainer is turned loose. Now, you keep a note of what I'm saying, and you make a little note if you want to, and we'll open the lines. In fact, they're already open, really. And you can call and ask a question about something I say, because I want to make sure you understand. This is an imperative subject. It is so imperative that I'm overwhelmed that every preacher in America is not preaching it. I'm overwhelmed that you go to camp meetings and nobody says anything about it, because it's just like it don't exist. Well, I'm telling you it exists. And we'll go to 2 Thessalonians in a little bit, and we'll see some very strong words that describe this, but I mean very beautifully, very beautifully. Now, you got to understand that there's no presence of the Holy Spirit unless there's a saint of God, or saints of God, or people of God who are yielded to the Holy Spirit. God will do nothing without us. We can do nothing without God. God will do nothing without us, but we can do nothing without God. Or maybe I should say it this way. We can do nothing without God, but God will not do nothing without using us. We're his vessels. We're his instruments of service. And God, he says it himself, that he will do nothing until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. God will do nothing until he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. So if your church is not full of the Holy Ghost, God's not working. God's not there. If your church doesn't allow someone to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, then God is not there. And you need to know that. And you need to quit playing games with it. And quit saying, well, my preacher's a good man. He says some wonderful things. But what are the things he don't say? It's most of the time not what they do say. It's what they don't say that really makes a world of difference. So if your church is not full of the Holy Ghost, then there's no restraining power in that church. And so it's just a club, a social order, a social meeting, a social event, and you're carrying on everything in a social fashion. That's why I'm saying to everybody, get on your face and get full of the Spirit. Get on your face and get full of the Spirit. Jesus said himself to his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you endued with power from on high. And I can say to every one of you, get out of the pulpit. Quit claiming yourself a preacher. Quit getting out there and trying to preach when you have not stayed in an upper room somewhere and got yourself full of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Ghost anointing that makes the word a living power that breaks through the barriers and brings sinners to God. So very important. So very important. Now, the Holy Ghost does not move, and I've really already said this, but the Holy Ghost does not move if you don't have a saintly vessel to move through. The Holy Spirit is dependent on having you and I surrendered and devoted and dedicated and prayerful until the Holy Spirit has taken control of our lives and we are used by the Holy Ghost. We are used by the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to say again, I've kind of said it a little bit, but there's no safety for you in this world full of the devil without the Holy Spirit. The Antichrist is moving in an unprecedented fashion. The Antichrist is moving already in an unprecedented fashion. Now, he hasn't been turned loose yet. He's still on a leash. He still can go, but so far, he's held at bay. There is a limit. You got to understand that there's been an Antichrist all the way back to the early church. And the devil has always had somebody in the making. See, Satan doesn't know when the rapture is going to occur. So you can look at the history of America, and you can find the Hitler or the Stalin or some evil, evil person who could well fit right in to the spirit of the Antichrist. He's always had one. Because he's got to have somebody ready. He don't know the moment of that rapture. And when that rapture occurs, he's got to move that person right in. And he's got them prepared. I promise you right now, there's an Antichrist prepared. He could step into the vacuum and take over in a matter of minutes. Because they are so prepared and so ready. And you can see that evil everywhere you look. The president we have is standing and acting in territory all really basically unprecedented. And the devil hates it. And if you don't think the devil's got somebody in the political, economic, educational, religious territories ready to be used of the Antichrist, you are not thinking clear. You must understand. And there is somebody ready. Somebody ready. Now, let me stop a moment and get you to share this. Why don't everybody who's on my friends list reach over and share this? And if somebody shared it and you've picked it up from them, you go ahead and share it again, because you'll have friends they didn't have. And let's get this in the hands of a multiplied number, because if we could help people understand that the Antichrist is working right now to be ready at a moment's notice, and Satan is prepared to turn him loose, and the Holy Spirit is prepared to turn him loose and back out of the way, because God is getting ready for a 7-year tribulation period that will follow the great rapture of the church and of the bride. So if you are not protected by the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you've gotten saved and all you're doing is just kind of goofing around about your faith and you haven't dug into the altar and started seeking every day to read your Bible and to pray and to get yourself ready to be full of the Holy Ghost, you're in danger zone and you won't last long. I've noticed through the years, people that get saved and they mess around with it and they got so many other things on their agenda, and they in and out and never go to church halfway and never get in there paying their tithes and living a saint of God life, and soon they're completely backslid and they're out of the church. Well, why are they out of the church? Because the devil is out to get them out of the church. That's what the devil's doing. That's what the Antichrist is doing. Right now he's doing it. If you've been saved and you're messing around with it, he's working on you right now. You're probably saying, well, I don't think I'll go to church tomorrow. I got too much to do. I need to mow my yard. You got all kinds of excuses, and you don't know they've been put in your head by the Antichrist. They are getting you ready because they don't want you full of the Holy Ghost. They don't want you gone when that rapture occurs, because they really are going to make mincemeat. I promise you, the Antichrist has got a list right now of every person who has been saved but are halfway serving and are not really full of the Holy Ghost. I promise you, he's right now. And when the rapture takes place and that crowd don't go, he's going to bounce on them like a bear bouncing on an enemy of his little cubs. I promise you, it's going to be a dark time, and you just don't want to be here. Oh, but everybody saved is going. Well, you hadn't read your Bible very well, because everybody saved ain't going. You live in a halfway, pitiful kind of religious life. You aren't going nowhere, friend. Take my word for it, and you may find that out too late, and I hope you don't, because it hurts my heart to even think about it. Now, Satan is moving right now. Satan is moving toward an unfettered kind of control. I see it everywhere I look. I see it in the newspaper. I see it on the news items. I see it on everything I read almost. Satan is moving with a control that is unprecedented. He's taking control of things that you would never... Look what he's done with the educational system. Look what he's done right here in Mecklenburg County, where every public restroom is open to a transgender of any background. A man can walk right into a woman's restroom in any public restroom in Mecklenburg County, and nobody can stop him. I would stop them if my wife or daughter or granddaughter was in there. I promise you. I'd take them by the nape of the neck and I'd throw them out the door. You say you'll go to jail? Well, I'm ready. I don't mind going to jail for a cause like that. And you ought to do the same thing than you would if you had any manhood about you. Most of our men are little boys, and they don't have much manhood. But real men will act like real men. Now, are you listening to me? The Antichrist is moving unprecedented. The fact that transgender can use a bathroom of their choice right now in Mecklenburg County is an absolute, absolute evidence of the Antichrist activities. The Antichrist activities moving with such fury. And the fact that your child may well this year be in a classroom that's being taught by a homosexual or a lesbian, and you can't do one thing about it. You can't move out of that school. You'll get charged with some kind of charge, and they will come after your hide, and they will do their best to destroy you. I promise. You remember what they did with the cake salesman? The man and woman had a bakery, and the homosexuals wanted them to do a party, a same sex wedding party, and they said no. Well, you do know it finally got upheld for the couple and not for the sodomites. But friend, we're living in that day, and it's really a dark day, and you better get yourself ready, because you don't have no protection if you're not full of the Spirit. If you're saved and you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you find your church tomorrow that's full of the Holy Ghost, and quit goofing around and quit running here and there and everywhere and not being dedicated and hungry after the things of God. I beg you. I'm yearning. I sent a couple yesterday a text from me saying, please quit doing this. Quit being gone all the time from church. Quit treating things like this. Sunday is the Lord's day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I did it with all kind of love. And then I told them how it grieved me. I'm a pastor, and it grieves me when I've got people half doing it and half going after the things of God. So you got to understand, Satan is moving towards a place of unfettered control. Unfettered control. Satan can force his will on you. Now, let's move into the New Testament. I talked too long there, I know. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. I want to go there a moment and show you something that is awesome. Really, it is awesome. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. Verse 26. I hope I've got it right here. Wait a minute. Let me see where I'm at. 2 Timothy 2 and 26. Well, I wasn't at the right place at that moment, but I'll get there. It don't take me long. Here we are, 2 and 26. God help me to explain this to you. Notice this, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, listen, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, that is a picture of a time when Satan can take control of people against their will. I used to believe, and I think it was true, that Satan could never move against your will. But now I'm realizing that the hour is coming that Satan can look for any little small doorway. All you got to do is tell a lie or tell an untruth or get angry or get rebellious toward your pastor, your husband or wife or your boss man, and just get an evil spirit in you. And Satan can move in on that and take you captive at his will. Now, that's scary. That's scary. Now, I promise you, if you're full of the Holy Spirit and you're always conscious of this, you can stop him at the door. I promise you. And if he makes a little leeway in, you can turn him off and turn him out and put him away. And I am grateful for that. And if you need help with understanding that, that's why I'm here. That's why good Holy Ghost-filled men will help you. And you can be delivered. So Satan is working to reach the place that he can take people at their will. It looks to me, and this is my own interpretation, and I'm not giving you a scripture for this, but it appears that whatever the power of Satan is in his control of human lives, that he is slowly moving in a more controlling, dominating factor. that it's a growing thing, and that people who used to be spiritual, that they've lost their spirituality, and they're slowly moving into the realm where Satan is in control of their life. I remember the man that married my wife and I. He was a precious man, and he came quickly to help us and perform the wedding. And we read in the paper he had died, and we didn't know anything about it. We found an address and went to find him, and we found a little trailer where he had lived in as an alcoholic, and he died there in that little trailer. And then we found where the funeral was and went, and it was a sad occasion. His family was all separated from him. His life had been destroyed because somewhere a door got open. And he went in that door and down the road and down the pathway of darkness. He had descended. Now, I'm telling you, Satan is moving to take you captive at his will. Now, I'm on a roll here, and I've got so many things. I got to take you to 2 Thessalonians, and I got to show you how that Satan is going to come, and the restrainer is all that holds him back. Now go to 2 Thessalonians, and let's read here some verses that are really overwhelming, if we may. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2 and 5. Remember, you're not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now listen, remember ye not that while I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now this pastor, 82, I don't know when I'm going to heaven, but I'm telling you these things because I know this is my last chapter, and I want to leave you with the best of truth to protect you. Let's listen to the next verse. Now you know what withholdeth, that means what restraineth. Now you know how he is restraining the enemy, how he's holding him back. And I'm trying to reveal this to you while I'm yet with you. For the mystery, now notice verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Oh, the devil is already at work. The Antichrist is already at work. The powers of darkness are already moving in. They're moving at an incredible rate. Notice, I'll read that again. For the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who letteth will let. Notice that, only he who letteth will let. Now study that word letteth, and it's the word restraineth. It's the word restraineth. It simply means only he who quits restraining, only he who stops this business of holding back. As long as he does, he will eventually let until he be taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit in the bride of Christ being removed out of the earth, out of the position before the Antichrist, holding the devil at bay. And I'll read it again. For the mystery of iniquity doth already let. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, who now restraineth, will eventually quit restraining, will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed. Now notice verse 8. This is in direct proportion, scripture after scripture, taking nothing out of context. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, that's the Battle of Armageddon that we studied 2 weeks ago. And so Satan and the Christ and the false prophet will all be destroyed when the Lord Jesus comes from heaven at the end of the 7 years. So there's a 7-year period here where the one who letteth will let until he be taken out. Letteth really means letteth or restraineth until he be taken out of the way. And that's the picture you get. For even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's the Antichrist coming when the Holy Spirit lets him, when the Holy Spirit quits restraining him, when the Holy Spirit turns him loose, friend. You're talking about a darkness that is unreal. You're talking about a darkness that's unreal. I'm on the radio, and my phone is ringing, and I will call them when the radio program is over, and you can go to the internet or Facebook and listen to it. All right, then. They hung up. They didn't know this was going to be on the air, did they? Well, you don't know who they are, so I wasn't embarrassing nobody. Now, only he who let will let until he be taken out of the way. Okay? You got that? Only he he who restraineth now will quit restraining when he be taken out of the way. You say, is the Holy Ghost going to be removed? His restraining powers are going to be removed. See, the Holy Spirit has many different offices of activity. He's the convictor. He's the converter. He's the healer. All that Jesus is, the Holy Spirit does it. And so the ministry of restraining will be the ministry of the Holy Spirit that quits, that is removed at the moment of the rapture. The Holy Spirit will not quit dealing with men. He will not quit dealing with souls. He will simply quit restraining the Antichrist and the false prophet and, yes, the devil. That's what he will quit doing. So you understand when it says, until he be taken out of the way, until the restraining powers is brought to a conclusion. Oh, you got it? Now, let me stop. I want so much to get you with your questions. There's got to be a host of them. Most of you never hear these kind of things preached and taught. And I'm telling you, what I'm preaching and teaching is so basic. It is so traditional. I mean, it don't go with the new theologies of today, but it goes with all the great theologies of the past. The Southern Baptists preached it. Billy Graham preached it. The great evangelists of different periods preached it. The Pentecostals have been deeply involved and committed to this until the last 20, 25 years, and the charismatic movement, see, which was nothing but a cover for the Catholic movement, moved in on the Pentecostal churches and basically destroyed them. And now you have the charismatics and the Catholics all bound together in the same cords of deception and evil and every kind of imaginable thing. Now, friend, hear me when I tell you that if ever you needed protection from the Holy Spirit, you need it this hour. And Brother Chambers weeps for it. We are praying in that sanctuary every morning at 6, 5:30 to 6, sometimes 2-4 hours. We have different people. This morning I came at 6, and I hadn't been here but a moment. And here came two ladies. And then a little bit here came Marlon Clark, one of my elders. And I don't know who else came. I stayed 2 hours and left and came back at 10 and again in there. And I'm telling you, we are believing God to break the powers of hell and to send a Holy Ghost movement that will shake these communities. And we really are praying for a revival that will shake America and beyond America. We have no limits that we want to put on the kind of revival we're praying for. We just want people converted. We want people right with God. We want people living for Christ. And now you've got to remember all of this. It is wonderful if you can remember. You said, Brother Chambers, you're telling me that when the Holy Spirit is removed from the ministry of restraining, when he ceases that particular activity of his business, when he quits and ceases restraining the devil around this earth so that he can do great damage, when he quits that, I'm telling you, the devil will be able to take Christians and literally treat them like dogs. He will grab a little teenage girl and somebody will rape her and force her, if they can, to blaspheme against God and to take the mark of the beast. And then that pretty little girl will become possessed of that spirit that comes with the mark of the Antichrist. Are you hearing me? Now, if you aren't, please hear me. And get on the phone, 704-391. Let me put up a phone number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Have you got that? It's right there in front of you. 701-391-0588. And then you've got the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Grab any of those numbers and call me right now with your question. I've got all things set. I can take you right on the phone. They will hear you in the radio audience, and we'll talk together, and I'll do my best to help you understand. I hope you'll call with something I can't answer, because that'll make me dig a little more this week and learn something I haven't learned yet, because there's some things I don't know yet. I'm working on it, though. I don't like nothing about the Bible. I try to learn it, and I'm all the time discovering that I don't know it all, because I'm just an ordinary man. You know, that's all there is about it. But I know one thing. I love God, and we're going to see signs and wonders. I'm telling you, God has announced in His Bible that the time before the coming of the Lord, there would would be wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. If you don't believe it, you go to Acts chapter 2, verses 17, 18, 19, 20, right along there, and read it for yourself. I'm telling you, God is going to do it. Now, here's the opportunity for your question to be answered. I know, I'm going, I get teaching these things. I want you to hear them so bad. I want to get them in your mind and in your heart. And I want you to know what I'm talking about. Now, I want to tell you something. Satan right now trembles at the name of Jesus. Now, during the seven-year tribulation period, I think that trembling in the name of Jesus may be real to some degree, but nothing as it is now. So let's go. I've got it right here in my Bible. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18. I'm trying to lead you in the scripture, James 2 and verse 18. I'm telling you, the book of James is something everybody ought to have written down in your mind. It is outstanding. In James 2 and 19. Am I saying that right? James 2 and 19. Oh, here I go. I'm looking. Give me just a moment. 2 and 19. Here I am. Listen to me now. I'm going to read verse 18. Yea, listen. Yes, yea. A man shall say they have faith. Listen. They have faith, but I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. See, a lot of people today claim that they are okay because they believe it and they've never experienced it. They think that believing is equal to receiving. They think that saying, I believe in Christ, is equal to surrendering their life to Christ. And this has been preached to a great degree, that all you got to do is believe. And the moment you walk down and the preacher says, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Yes, I do. Would you receive that now as your substitute for salvation? Yes, I will. You're saved. Going back to your seat. They haven't prayed. They haven't wept a tear. They haven't repented of sin. They've made no change in their life. They've made no surrender to the Bible. They just expressed the faith. They just expressed the faith. And so the Bible talks about that. It says, yea, a man may say that they have faith and I have works. But I will show thee my faith by my works. Now listen to the next verse. Thou believest. Listen, he's saying, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now listen to that. You're claiming that you have faith and you believe in Christ and you believe in God. Well, so what? The devil also believes, but at least he trembles, and that's better than you do. You know, are you hearing me? I say that with gentle heart, I promise you. Listen, you don't live by just faith. You live by a life that's full of Christ, a life that's been poured out at his altar. A life that's repented of your sins and turned from your sins. One thing you're going to be hearing from me, and the Holy Ghost has said this to me so strong, is I've got to preach more holiness. I've got to get you understanding that if you're born again, he's made you holy. And if he hasn't made you holy, you are not born again. You may have a little wimpy faith, you know, and you may believe a little something the Bible said, but when he saves you, he makes a new creature out of you. He makes a brand new creature out of you. And you don't want that world of sin any longer. Now, I hope you'll keep listening to me, because I'm doing my best to move as the Holy Ghost is leading me. But I'm telling you, I'm going to be moving in some realms that this wimpy church world don't want nothing to do with. They just want a religious faith that they can do like they please and keep serving self and keep, you know, keep drinking their booze and carousing around and doing things they shouldn't do. And I mean, I find it all the time. You'll say to someone, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Are you really living for Christ? Well, I'm working on it. What do you mean you're working on it? Well, I'm still falling into traps all along, but I'm doing better. Come on, that's not salvation. Salvation is, yes, I'm a new creature. Man, I have joined my church, and I'm in the middle of it, and I'm paying my tithes, and I'm witnessing the lost souls, and I quit all that junk of the world, and I don't want it any longer. I want to live for Christ. Well, that's being saved. You want to live for Christ, and you want to get ready. Now, I'm going to read you something before I'm off the air today about the kind of people he's coming after. I'm preaching in the morning. I want you to hear this. I'm preaching in the morning. I want you to be here. Holiness, 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 and the rapture. Holiness, How many of you like holiness out there? No, I don't like the word holiness. I remember I was in a home some years ago. This little boy was his grandmother and great-grandmother and great-great-grandmother were all old-fashioned. Well, I shouldn't say old-fashioned. We're all great Pentecostals, because Pentecost is not old-fashioned. It's as current as the sun came up this morning. Holiness is as current as the sun is shining right now. Holiness is just as current. It's not old-fashioned. It may seem old-fashioned to a compromising world, but it's really the current standard that God has ordained. And so I'm preaching tomorrow on holiness and the rapture. I want to give you the guarantee that hell can't stop, that you're going to go in that rapture. I want to give you that guarantee. I want you to find it, and I wanted to get a hold of you down to the core you'll be in, and I want you to live for God. Now, I've got a lady here answering the phone, and I don't want her to be here and not do anything. You can get a copy of this booklet with this subject and gobs of good material on the restrainer. This will take you back to Genesis, where I started. It'll take you through the Bible. It'll show you the restrainer, and you'll be able to preach your preacher. Preach to your preacher. And then you can read it and then give him a copy, make him a copy, and maybe he'll preach this to your congregation and stir. Oh, it'll stir them up. They'll get mad at him. Well, that's because many preachers are pastors under the authority of a bunch of deacons, and they do what those deacons say. I'm a man of God. I'm going to do what God says. I'm not going to have a pastor by board. I'm going to pastor by the calling of God upon my life. And many people don't like that today. If you don't listen to them, then it's their way or the highway, and I have to let them take the highway, because Jesus is coming, and I got to answer to you. And that's why I'm on this radio worldwide, internet and Facebook and all of it worldwide, you know, and telling people this great truth. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I won't leave it there but a minute again now, and then I'm going to remove it. So grab your phone and let my lady here, dedicated people that help me. Oh, they're so dedicated. And I want them to be able to help you. So grab your phone. Call quickly. Right now. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588, and let us send you a free copy. A free copy of this book, of this booklet that's right here on my desk. A free copy. It'll be mailed to you within a couple of days next week, maybe three, and you'll have it by probably next week. I'm working on the program for next week, and God is helping me. And quickly, we're going to move toward the millennial reign, the 1,000 years of righteous reign on this earth with Jesus Christ and every saint of God ruling the world with him for 1,000 years. Man, you haven't heard nothing till you hear about all of that. It is just exciting. It is overwhelming. Grab the phone. I'm waiting on you, and I want to be a blessing to you, and I will do everything in my power to be a blessing to you, and we'll help you to find the truth and live in it, and it can change your life. Okay? Grab a phone. Are you grabbing the phone? I'm waiting on you. It used to be when I would come on the air with a subject like this, the phones would ring off the hook. I don't think people are studying their Bible much anymore. Most churches don't have a Wednesday night Bible study, a prayer meeting like they used to have. It used to be that preachers would preach a series of Bible study sermons on Sunday night, and that was a big night in a lot of places. That's gone. And so now all you've got is a preacher in the pulpit, and most of the time they preaching social things and not a lot of Bible in it. And so we've got an ignorant world that doesn't know much at all about the subject I'm talking about. At least be honest enough with yourself to call and get a copy of this and read it. If you don't want to believe it, if you want to throw it away, I'm not going to be checking on you. I'm just going to love you and care about you. So if you would, send a call right quickly and let us share a copy with you and send you something to bless your church. And maybe your Sunday school teacher, you can teach it. That'll be a good way to get it in Sunday school. Not many Sunday schools of any size anymore, but there's a few. And you could teach a few people and get them to understand. We are near the coming of the Lord. The tribulation period is so close, we lack one thing, and that's the rapture. the trumpet sounding and the rapture occurring. And I'm telling you, in the moment that happens, the restrainer will be will quit restraining, and the devil will be turned loose like an evil dynamo on this earth, and it's going to be horrible. It's going to be horrible. Now, when Satan is cast out of heaven, I showed you last week, when Satan is cast out of heaven, he will come down with great wrath, the Bible says, knowing that he has but a short season. And that will be Satan when the Antichrist is turned loose. Not only will the Antichrist be turned loose and the false prophet be turned loose, but Satan will be cast down to the earth. And so there'll be an unholy trinity that will take sight on this world to control it, to manipulate it, to master it, and to create a wickedness that is unparalleled in all of history. And you are going to be amazed if you happen to be here for this horrible hour. I don't want you here. I want you to get out of here. I really do. I'm doing my best. I'm almost screaming at you. Get ready to go. Get ready to go. Get ready to rise up and meet the Lord in the air. It's really, really, really very, very late. It really is. Now, I want to read that. Let's go to Revelation. There's so much scripture that really helps this subject to come alive. But in chapter 12, you'll find that verse that says, and there was war in heaven. Listen, verses 7. War in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Now, a lot of times we think about the great dragon being cast out, and we don't go any further in our thinking. The moment the great dragon is cast out, the Antichrist is being revealed. All is happening kind of at the same time. The Antichrist is being revealed, and the false prophet is being revealed. And so the devil will have an unholy trinity. An unholy trinity. Somebody says, I don't believe in the trinity. Well, the devil does, because he produces a counterfeit trinity. If there's anything in the world that proves the trinity, the Trinitarian concept, and proves this Jesus-only stuff being absolutely wrong and from the enemy, it is that the devil produces his own trinity. I mean, he is clearly the dragon, the old devil. He has a false prophet, and he has an antichrist, and he has a false prophet. And they are seen clearly in the scripture. Here in chapter 12, you have the devil cast out of heaven. In chapter 13, you have the Antichrist being revealed. Go down to verse 11 of chapter 13, and you have the prophet, the false prophet being revealed. And so immediately, when the tribulation period starts, the devil produces his Trinitarian concept and produces a false trinity, a false trinity, a devil who will be the God, and an Antichrist who will take the place of Jesus Christ, and a false prophet who will take the place of the Holy Spirit. Now, many of you have seen a group of videos that God led me to do, nearly 20 years ago, really, about 20 years ago, called the False Anointing Series. The False Anointing Series. And I take you through, I show you men like Hagin. He was one of the worst, and Benny Hinn, and Kenneth Copeland, and different ones of these characters. And I show you not just me attacking them, but me giving you their very words, letting them say what they say, letting them preach what they preach, watching them do their thing. Oh, you got to see Kenneth Hagin as he was marching through a whole auditorium of people, and he'd walk up and he would hiss like he was a snake, and people would slumber down out of their chair onto the floor like a serpent. And it was a spirit of Satan. It was a spirit of the serpent. It was evil to the core. I'm telling you, that stuff is so dark and dangerous. It scares me to death when I think of the multitude caught up in it. I mean a multitude. Well, this is the false trinity. It's what he does. The devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And he can only do it because the restrainer pulls back and turns him loose. The restrainer pulls up and turns him loose. The restrainer, the Holy Spirit, ceases restraining the devil for 7 years. Because God wants this world to see what a snake he is. God wants this world to see what a snake is. You see, this is probably going to be the name of the program next week, if the Lord leads me, as I believe he is. And it's going to be Satan and his two stooges. Satan and his two stooges. The Antichrist and the false prophet are nothing but stooges of the devil. They just do the bidding of the devil. And of course, they get thrown into the lake of fire at the very end of the 7 years. Even the devil is given 1,000 years in the bottomless pit and then released for a while. But his two stooges, they cast right into the lake of fire at the end of the 7 year tribulation period. As soon as Jesus comes and the battle of Armageddon, he puts them in the pit, brother. Not in the pit, I'm sorry, but in the lake, brother. I mean, that is going to be soon. That's not far away. Now, 10 minutes, and I want to answer questions all 10 minutes. Grab your phone. I'm going to just almost beg you, grab your phone and let me hear that question. Let me hear something. Well, let me hear nothing else but say, Reverend Chambers, this is the kind of truth the church world is so desperate to hear. They know nothing of this, and it's about to happen, and everybody's going to be taken by surprise. Can you imagine what the church world is going to do when suddenly this all begins to come down the pipes and they know nothing? They wasn't ready to go. They didn't have on no wedding garment. They was living like they pleased. They'd forsaken holiness if they ever even knew it. The preacher didn't preach them nothing about what's wrong and what's right. They didn't know you had to be clean to go with Jesus when he comes. They just thought all you had to do is claim the blood. And you could go with Jesus just because you claim the blood. Well, that is not biblical, my friend. You got to do more than say, I claim the blood. You got to have the blood applied. You got to let the blood do its wonderful work. That's the only thing that will prepare you to go, is allowing the Holy Spirit to do his wonderful work in you and to change you and to make a new creature out of you. Oh, I cry out to you. I beg of you. Now let me take you to the book of Ephesians, and I want you to try to see with me the coming of the Lord, the great hour of the coming of the Lord. Well, let me see here. I don't think I found the right. Give me a minute. You don't have to worry. Brother Chambers will find it. It won't take me but a moment. This old book is a beautiful book. Do you know that? Do you love the Bible? Do you really love the Bible? Hallelujah. Oh, God is a great God, and how wonderful is his love. Now, why am I not finding? It should always come quickly to my little brain, but it doesn't always. The Bible talks about it. Here it is. Wives, therefore the church is subject to Christ. Husbands, listen to this. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Do you, do you love your husband? Do you love your wife, like Jesus loves his church? I'm talking to the dads now. I'm talking to the husbands. You love your wife like Christ loves the church. I loved my Juanita. I made it my business all those years to love her just like Jesus loved the church. I loved her. I would sing to her, little songs, little ditties to tell her how much I love her. I would say to her, have I told you lately that I love you? Could I tell you once again somehow how I could not live if I should ever live? Oh, brother, have I found? Now, let me just go on. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, why did Jesus give himself for the church? Now we're going to talk about the rapture. Why did Jesus give himself for the church? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word of God. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of the water by the word. Now, you got to listen to me. Listen to me now. Be very careful. That he might present it to himself. This is the rapture, when the Lord presents the bride to himself. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church. A glorious church. Is your church glorious or just a bunch of hypocrite people? I have people tell me all the time I'd go to church, but I don't want to go to church with that bunch of hypocrites. You know what I tell them? Go to church with those hypocrites or go to hell with them. Which do you want to do? You're going to go, you're going to do one or the other, I promise you. But you better go and serve the Lord, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Do you know the people going in the rapture is those that are holy and without blemish? They won't go up with a cigarette between their lips. They won't go up dressed, you know, in the attire of the opposite sex. They won't go up looking like some Jezebel out of a Hollywood movie. Oh, no. They'll go up godly and pure and holy and righteous. And nobody else is going up. If you're fornicating with your neighbor's wife, you ain't going in no rapture. There was a preacher here in the big church in Charlotte several years ago, and he told somebody, he said, "I am so sure of eternal security that if I was in bed with a harlot woman having sex, committing fornication, and the rapture took place, I'd still go." Did you hear me say that? I hope you didn't hear it. No, I hope you did hear it, because that's what he said. I know him. I knew him, I should say. I don't know where he is now. He moved on. "That he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing." No, it didn't say blemish there. It says it later. "Or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." He's coming for a holy church. You say that's only because they're washed in the blood. You're right. Only because they're washed in the blood, but because they are truly washed in the blood and not just decorated with some religious facade. The blood of Jesus don't decorate you with a religious facade, friend. The blood of Jesus washes you and makes you pure and makes you clean. And I got to go here in just a moment, and you can still call and get that booklet. I don't know how many have called. I don't know that anybody has. I hope you have. But you got to have this booklet, and you got to get into this subject. And please don't hate me for telling you the truth, because I want you to go in the rapture. I don't want you to be here when the restrainer is gone. I really don't. Father, I pray for my dear friends. There's so many out there unsaved, unprepared, unready. Father, just living careless and so casual, and nobody's preaching something to them to shake them and to stir them. Father, give them tears today. Give them a sense of conviction. Let them realize that sin can't enter in to that heavenly place. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Notice what he said. Blessed are the pure in heart. Not the pure in some fashion that doesn't include their heart. The heart is the center of all you are. You will do what's in your heart, according to your heart, my friend. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I love you. I wish you'd get on your knees right now and let's turn your life over to Christ. Could I lead a few people in prayer of surrender? Would you just bow your head and follow me with some words here in the name of the Lord? And let's believe God to save you. Let's believe God to get you ready for this glorious rapture. You talk about a happy day. You talk about a wonderful day. If you're ready to go when he comes, it's going to be beyond measure. Father, I pray now with this man or woman who's praying. I pray with that young teenager who's praying, that young son, a young daughter, that little child that's maybe just 12 or 13, maybe 8 or 9. I pray with them. I repent of my sins. Say it with me, young person. Say it with me, Dad, Mom. I repent of my sins. I am sorry, and I am forsaken in them. I'm not going to just live in them and count the grace as covering all my wickedness. I'm going to let the grace cleanse me from my wickedness. Say it before God. And live a clean life. Now, I'm ready. I'll be in God's house tomorrow. I won't be somewhere goofing off. I won't be shopping. I won't be cleaning the house. I won't be mowing the yard. I'll be in the house of God tomorrow, serving the Lord with all of my heart and living a clean life. Are you ready? Are you ready to do that? It's a beautiful life. It really is breathtaking. It'll take your breath away. It'll make something special out of you. Now, I've done my best to bring you something today that is, I hope, a life-changing to you. Really life-changing to you. I want you to never be the same again. I want Christ to take over your life. And I want you to start living for him. Oh, I want to see him. Do you really want to see him? Do you really want to see him? Did you know that you can see him if you will be ready? Did you know that? You can see him if you be ready. I'm praying for you. Be in the house of God here at Paul Creek tomorrow. I'd love to have you. I promise you, you'll be blessed, and we'll see that God does something special for you. We'll be praying for that. I love you. I really do. I love you with all of my heart, my friend. You are you're special to me, and I mean that. I didn't get it on early. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name.
There to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. There to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high.